Scripture reading this morning is actually two short passages from the Gospel according to Matthew, beginning first at chapter 18, and it's the first six verses of chapter 18, and then we turn over the page, and at the bottom of the right-hand column will be the second passage, chapter 19, verse 13. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." Chapter 19, verse 13. Then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and to pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there.
What a wonderful anthem. Something we can sing about whether we are Scripture Union staff or volunteers or whatever. Lovely words. Real indication of what it's like to be part of the Scripture Union family wherever we are in the movement. The Bishop, Timothy W. Smith. One of the first letters I received on taking up the role of National Director was a handwritten, black, scrawly handwriting from the Bishop himself, welcoming me into my new role and saying that he would be praying for me each day. Isn't that wonderful? And that's the sort of fellowship that comes together around Scripture Union across a movement which involves staff, volunteers, people who pray, people who give financially, with one focus, to support the church in going about its great commission to children and young people. Back in the summer of 1980, similar story here to Simon's, I think. Back in the summer of 1980, a young Scot went to Scripture Union camp for the first time as a young leader, about a year into faith. And he really enjoyed camp. And he really enjoyed the look of this young cook at camp. It was a boys' camp, but there were some female cooks. But what really impressed him was on the last night. On the last night of camp, when we had had our big bonfire down on the beach on the East Lothian coast at Skoal, where there is still a Scripture Union camp. And there was a big service of worship, and the boys were really getting excited about this and the peak and the coming home. We walked back up, the gang walked back up to the campsite, and I found this young cook in tears. Now, being a young guy, I thought immediately, what have I done wrong? Any men who have been can remember back to their young men's years, and that's usually their first reaction. But that wasn't the case. They were soul tears that she was crying for the group of boys that were in my tent who hadn't come to the Lord and were going home still lost. That's a picture for what Scripture Union's about and what we should all be about as churches, as gatherings of believers in the 21st century, to have soul tears for the children and young people of our nation. Because it's what Jesus demonstrated to us. And we're going to look a little, not at pictures, which, you know, you can invite me back or you can invite Simon to do pictures of the details of what Scripture Union is doing in helping churches in England and Wales. We're going to look at the fundamentals, the biblical basis of why we should care for children and young people. And I know you do here. And I'm going to keep my eye very firmly on the clock, because for 3 years I've been working in Malawi. And in Malawi, a short service is 3 hours. A communion is 5 hours. A short sermon is 50 minutes. A long sermon's an hour and a half. Don't worry. Well, not yet, anyway. Who are the children and young people of our 21st century England and Wales? Well, many of you here, I noticed it's wonderful to have so many young people here. Many of you know from first-hand experience. The marketeers call the young people, the youngest generation today, Generation Z. I don't know if you've ever heard that phrase, Generation Z. Or often Christians will call them the lost generation, because it's essentially been about three generations since children and young people in the majority have known what it is to be in a loving church community and to have the Christian underpinning in their lives. You know, they say that most families today in England and Wales are three generations away from being able to cook. Now, probably you don't believe that, but most families, it's a microwave meal on a lap in front of a TV. They're three generations away from being able to cook. And we live in a world where out there, three generations of children don't know anything about the Lord, let alone having the opportunity to come to know the Lord. And there is a huge challenge in our society because of that. You know, it's easy to come up with some stereotypes. Generation Z, they're always connected. They're always on their phones. They have a remarkably short attention span. If you don't capture interest within 8 seconds, they say, you've lost them, because they're flipping on to the next thing. 8 seconds is roughly the memory span of a goldfish as it goes around in its. They accept things which are really shocking for us. Some of us, anyway. They accept sexual fluidity as just part of the norm. They're very independent thinkers. They reject absolutely authority because they feel they've been let down time after time about it. And they're truly post-Christendom. I would never say post-Christian. There will never be an age that's post-Christian. But they're post-Christendom. They know nothing about the fundamental tenets of our faith. So as we learn, hopefully, to get alongside these young people and talk to them, we have to do it in a radically different way than the way that even in our childhood, the youngest adult here, even in your childhood, and certainly the oldest adult here in your childhood, because the building blocks aren't there on which to start the conversation. And their view of us, their view of Christians, their view of this, the church and its lovely buildings is withering. If you ask them, as we do in Scripture Union, it's bigotry, hypocrisy, old-fashioned, outdated, wrong, irrelevant, closed-minded, smug, sexist, homophobic, patronizing. That's you and me. That's their view of you and me. So if we have to get alongside these children and young people, we have to go back to basics, back to the book of Acts, back to the Gospels, and see how Jesus and the disciples reached out to people who had no Christian bedrock. And that's why it's not surprising that, as Simon's already mentioned, 95% of children and young people in the country now have no contact yet with people of faith or the church. And that's Scripture Union's primary priority now. You'll see it changing gradually over these years, because our focus is on helping you and other churches around the country to go where the children are and the gospel isn't, and to help to raise up a generation of believers. It's what Spears did when he went to that beach in Llandudno in 68. Oh, I'm getting the history, you see. In 68. It's what another chap who joined Rees soon afterwards, Bishop, did when he noticed in the 1880s, people were complaining that children and young people weren't in church like they used to be. Because on a Sunday evening, rather than being in the evening service and probably being bored to tears, but anyway, they were out in the streets, sitting on the steps of the gin house, or playing in the streets. And he went out into the streets where they were and the gospel wasn't. And that is what we're coming back to as Scripture Union now. So let's look at what Jesus did. In these two passages that I clipped out, and I don't normally clip out two passages like that. I come from a church tradition probably similar to yours where we would preach sequentially through Scripture through a book. But these two passages that give us an insight into Jesus. Let the little children come to me, for the kingdom belongs to such as these. Jesus is very clear here. And I'm just going to touch on headings that in Malawi would take about half an hour to unpack. First thing, he was absolutely passionate about children. Let the little children come. And let the little children come to me. Are we that passionate? You know, often in the church, perhaps even in a lovely church like this, with so many children and young people, we almost think of them as an afterthought. Jesus was saying very specifically, let the little children come to me. And he was recognizing that they weren't the church of tomorrow. They were the church of today. What was fundamental here was he was welcoming them into a worshipping community. They were part of today's worshipping community, not tomorrow's. And even more importantly, or wonderfully, or amazingly, I don't know if you saw it in chapter 18 and in verse 5, Jesus was saying that as we welcome the children and young people, what? We're welcoming him. You know, there's always something special in the Gospels, isn't it? Sometimes it can make us a little bit uneasy because Jesus seems to hold a special care, a special love and a special interest for the broken and the needy who are weak that way, or the children and the young people who are weak in that way. Not the proud, not the strong, not the capable, but the weak and the needy. But perhaps here's the most important thing for us as a church in England and Wales today to realize is that he makes it clear that children are able and should be able to respond to Jesus. Let the little children come unto me. He points out, he then talks about the children as those in verse 6 of chapter 18, as those who believe in me. He's using an analogy, but he's also making the point that he recognizes that children can believe in me. Back in 1867, when SU went out onto the beach and into the parlors of Victorian London and then spreading out elsewhere, it was shocking to the church that we were encouraging the church to go out and expect children and young people to come to Jesus, to understand the gospel, and to respond to him. And it's a sore state of affairs that in today's day and age, sometimes the church can be very similar. So there's a very clear message from Jesus here, fundamental, theological, scriptural Jesus message. Let the little children come unto me. We don't need to force them. We don't need to ram the Bible down their throats. Children want in their innocence to come to him. There's a lesson here for us as well, as disciples. Did you notice it? It can be a positive and a negative message in a way. But Jesus points out that little children could teach us. It's not all a one-way flow. If you've worked with children, you'll know this. And it's probably a delight for you. Simon was talking about the delight of getting alongside young people and seeing them come to faith. But we also learn from them. Who hasn't learned or been terrified even by that simple, absolutely fundamental theological question that a child will come up with? You know, the whys, whys, whys. And it skewers you deep in your soul about your own faith, and you're encouraged to think it through. Or is challenged by the simple open-heartedness of a young child showing love to another child. I saw two walking out there, and the look of delight on a girl's face as she just simply turned to greet her friend as they went out. It's an inspiration to us, isn't it? So there's a lesson here for us to look at children and learn from children as we welcome them in to today's fellowship. Something about their humbleness. Something about the childlike nature that recognizes that it's vulnerable and is willing to put their trust in their parents or those who love them as a picture for how we're meant to be with Jesus. Shockingly, Jesus says, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. So there's a lesson from Jesus about how we should interact with little children. There's a lesson from Jesus about how disciples should be little children. And there's lessons from Jesus about how the church should engage with little children. And the first is, do no evil. I don't know if you're into digital technology, Google, that was Google's strapline for many years, do no evil. And it's what we should be doing first when we're with children and young people. Did you see in verse 19, who was it that hindered the children from coming to Jesus? I'm thinking in Malawi. In Malawi, people would answer me. There's no such thing as a rhetorical question in Malawi. So I'm going to ask it again and ask you to pretend you're in Malawi. Who was it who hindered the children to come to Jesus?
The disciples.
The disciples. Yo, that was better. That was better. The disciples. That should be a warning to us, my friends. When we get to heaven, is Jesus going to have to take us to one side and point out where it's actually us who have hindered the young people in coming to Jesus? You see, the disciples, like so many of us, they thought they knew what was important. Don't bother Jesus. He's got more important things to do. He's got all these Pharisees to talk to and all these sorts of people. But Jesus said, let the little children come unto me. Perhaps they thought, you'll never be able to understand this. You have to be like me. You have to be old and be able to know all the systematic theology from one end to the other, to have been to Bible college or whatever, before you can possibly come to Jesus. And Jesus said, no. Let the little children come unto me. So we are called, first of all, to do no harm and not to get in the way of the genuine seeking in children's hearts. In our mission statement that Simon got a tick in his annual performance review because he was able to almost do it word for word. In our mission statement, it doesn't say we are going to force children to come. It says we, SU, are helping churches to create opportunities for children themselves to explore the Bible, respond to Jesus, and grow in faith. Because like Jesus, we believe that they can come, and that they can see, and that they can respond, and that they can grow. So that's the second thing we have to learn as a church from Jesus, to do good, not to do evil, and to do good. And we do good by doing what Jesus did, by saying, I am a lost sinner. I am a starving sinner. Here is the bread. I'm a thirsting sinner. Here is the water. I know where you can find the Lord Jesus. In Scripture. It's been first and foremost Scripture and prayer in the Scripture Union movements for so many decades. And it still is, and it still should be for all of us, shouldn't it? That simple little chorus, I don't know if it's an SU chorus. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Did anyone learn that when they were a kid? I did. And I thought, well, it's simple to learn, I'll sing it. But it's absolutely right, isn't it? Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. And here is the wonderful opportunity for the 21st century and for Generation Z out there in our streets. Because if we get off our pedestal as churches, if we realize that we're no longer part of the nice establishment, even if we wanted to be, because the world's moved on and sees us at best as mildly mental to be in a church, and at worst as downright dangerous to be in church. If we realize that we are back in the time of Acts, and we recognize who we are, and we no longer try to pretend that we're part of the establishment, Generation Z will listen. Because the other side of the coin for Generation Z is they are a people who are desperate to find bedrock. The young people now realize that the previous generations, in destroying all the bedrock of our society, have left them with shifting sand. They're desperate for bedrock. They're desperate for genuine authenticity. And so often it's us that have never shown them that. So there's the opportunity. They're curious. They're desperately seeking. And especially they're seeking a sound identity for themselves. Remember when I was doing the children's address, I said there was only one answer for most questions in a children's address: Jesus. And we should know and live out that there's only one answer for Generation Z. What is it? Jesus. He is our identity. He is the only identity. Generation after generation, some people have discovered that. And today, we need to go out to where the children are and the gospel isn't, because they will never come in. And we need to show them where the answer is. As one starving vagrant, we need to point them to the bread that is Jesus and bring them there. As one desperately thirsty wanderer in life, we need to bring them to the person where we have found the word of life, the water of life, the thirst that is quenched and will never thirst again. Amen.